The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
I mentioned yesterday one of my favorite scriptures was given as a result of a lack of faith when Sarah doubted the ability of the Lord to bless her with a child, and she laughed within herself. The angel, the Lord said, after he heard her laugh, he said, "Is there anything too hard from the Lord?" The Lord is so great that he can make positive things come out of negative things. And things that we do wrong, certainly we shouldn't do them, but yet the Lord can turn that around and we can learn a lesson from it and even some be blessed because of it. In the New Testament, we have an entire book that was a positive thing as a reaction to a negative thing. And I referred to, there are several books you can look upon that way, but I'm thinking of 1 Corinthians. That book was written to a church that had much error in it, and they had some things that needed to be taken care of. The Apostle Paul wrote this book to address the errors that was found within that church. And specifically, if we turn to the 15th chapter, the Apostle Paul wrote this as a defense against those who were contending that there is no resurrection of the dead. Now, that's hard for me to believe. I think about the resurrection every day. I hope the Lord comes back today. That would be wonderful. What a way to end a meeting for the Lord to come back. You could say, "Brother David, we'll don't need to hear the rest of that sermon. We'll just be up there in glory." That'd be fine. That'd be fine. And I think about that every day. What if today's the day that Jesus comes back? And that's the greatest thing I think you can think of. It's the greatest news of all time. That Jesus died to save sinners, and that he will raise them from the grave, and together we'll be with the Lord. I can't imagine anybody not believing the resurrection, not even wanting to believe the resurrection, even giving some audience to anyone who would confess such. But yet they were found in the church at Corinth. And so when we read 1 Corinthians 15, and you hear this preached a lot, you hear this preached at funerals, usually we read this, well, the Apostle Paul is just talking to us about the resurrection of the dead. But really what he's doing is that he is attacking the error that was in the church for those who did not believe in it. And he was defending the truth, and he was offending the error. He was offended, so he was on the offense and on the defense. And if you read that, it's taken me 38 years of Bible study just to learn that one simple truth. And got a lot just to go. But yet, I read this with that in mind and with that mindset here recently. And it just, at least to me, it opened up some things about the resurrection that I'd never thought about before. And so, you know, when Paul, we don't have time to look at a lot of the verses. But he presents in the very first part of the chapter the eyewitness testimony that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And the last eyewitness the Apostle Paul gives is himself. And he said that he was seen of me, this is verse 8, as one born of due time, or born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. And then he says in verse 11, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached, and so ye believed. This is not a new doctrine. I've preached this to you before. Others have preached it to you. You believe this doctrine. You amen this doctrine. You were baptized in like figure of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You confessed this. You believed it. You rejoiced in it. And then he says in verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? There's a point I want to make. The church that we are a member of, we need to make sure as best as we can and look upon it with prayer and study and meditation, that what is preached to that church is as thus saith the Lord. Amen. It needs to be the truth. We should not ever be satisfied with anything less than the truth. I've had people tell me, well, I don't agree with their doctrine, but I like their practice. Then you shouldn't like their practice either. They say, well, they got something for the young folks at that church. Is that true? Really? Really? Are you telling me that? You're going to throw that one at me. You know, I got something for the young folks. It's called the grace of God and the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, the gospel of Jesus Christ is good for the young. It's good for the middle aged. It's good for the old. It's good for everybody. All right, you don't need to have a special service. You've already got one. It's called preaching, praying, and singing. That's what you got. If your church has that, then you got what you need. The truth has no alternative. There's no compromise when it comes to the truth. They say, well, they're a little bit Arminian. Well, then you need to get a lot of it out of there. Are they preaching grace? Amen and amen. And, y'all, there's different customs. Y'all have some customs we don't have in Texas. And right now, I think y'all are amen and okay. I'm here. You're fine. You go to Texas, you might, well, we have a few different ways that we do things, especially in the song leading. And it takes me 2 hours to tell you all about it. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. All right. We believe in what's called the Texas two-step. You lead one song, you lead another song, and you sit down. You shall not lead three songs. If you lead three songs, you are in gross disorder, and you will get the fisheye. You will be stared down. All right, that is the way it is in Texas. That is the way it's always been in Texas. It will be that way in Texas until the Lord comes back. We're not going to change. Don't try to get us to change. We'll give you the fisheye. But when Texas comes to Alabama and y'all do what I call song leading by committee, we're not going to give you the fisheye. If it works for you, that's fine. All right? That's not in your articles of faith. Okay, in Texas, we believe that every church should have a clock in it. If you do not have a clock in the church, you are in gross disorder. That clock should be eye level so the preacher can see it when he knows to sit down. Some churches have a clock in the back so the congregation will know when he needs to sit down. That's inviolate. You can't break that law. I don't see a clock here. Y'all are in disorder as far as Texas is concerned. We need to have labor with you and try to encourage you along the way more perfectly. We also believe that the coffee pot shall be going 24/7. Even when the church is not meeting, the coffee needs to be on. Somebody may need to want to go by and get a pot of coffee. To us, the pot of coffee is just as important as a cappella singing, salvation by grace, and all kinds of other things. One more thing in Texas. We believe that every church shall have lunch each and every Sunday. You can do without the preaching, but you cannot do without the lunch. As a matter of fact, if you want to cut the singing short and have a longer lunch, then that's amen and amen. These are things that we do in Texas. It's not a big deal. It's not in the scriptures. It's things that we do. It works for us. Y'all have your ways. That's fine. But I'll tell you what, if Brother Tim got up there and preached there's no resurrection of the dead, I'm going to have a problem with it. Amen. All right? If he believes you've got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to get saved, I've got a problem with it. All right? All right? If you believe that a piano is going to help you to sing, I've got a problem with it. Because I'll tell you what, we do have instrumental music. It's the heart. That's the greatest instrument ever created because God made it. God made it. All right, I like good music. We had some last night. But when it comes to singing praises to God, I want to use the instrument that God gave me, and that is the heart. My voice is off key. It sounds like a dying walrus. I don't care. I don't care. All right, I tell folks in Texas, if you sing off key, sing loud. If you sing on key, sing louder. That's what I tell people. Everybody needs to sing. You say, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Well, then get another bucket. Get two buckets. Maybe you can carry a tune in two buckets. Two buckets don't work, get three. Just get enough buckets until you sing. The point is, are you singing praises to God? If you are, then you've got good singing. Are you preaching the truth? That's good preaching. We need the Spirit of God, of course. Of course. But this was essential to them. You once believed it, and we preached it. And if you heard it preached, how can you say that it's not true anymore? Because the truth doesn't change. All right? Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. We don't need another form of worship or gospel for this modern age. My friends, we need what the apostles delivered more than ever. And we need to earnestly contend for the faith that was how many times delivered? Once delivered to the saints. There is no special dispensation for modern people. We just need to conform to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to follow the pattern that he set behind. All right. And then he says this in verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. Now, I preach it like this. If Christ is not risen, then we're not going to rise. All right? Okay, I preach it like that. But Paul's taking it the other way. If we're not going to rise, then Christ didn't rise. Then he's still in the tomb. The tomb is not empty. If the tomb is not empty, we're lost.
Right.
You know, some people say we're working to go to the same place. That's true. We're all working to go to hell.
That's right.
That's right. Everybody's going to the same place. But it isn't heaven. We're all going to hell. But because Jesus rose from the dead, we likewise will rise from the dead.
Amen.
Because the scripture says he was delivered for our offenses. That means he came down to save us from our sins.
Amen.
That's what it means. And then he said, and he rose again for our justification. In other words, when he rose from the dead, that declared that we are just in the sight of God because we are now one with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what it means. The resurrection is directly tied to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
All right? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. What do you got? If there's no resurrection, what do you got? What do you got to preach about? What do you got to look forward to? Retirement? My father said, I need to get another job. Retirement's too much work. Right? Because now he's working for my mother. If you ever met my mother. At any rate, what do you got to look forward to? What do you got to look forward to? I mean, I used to look forward to when my kids got out of diapers. Then I look forward when they learned to tie their shoes. Then I look forward to when, you know, they were of this age. Then when they were teenagers, I thought, oh, man, you know, that's somewhat to look forward to. There's something to worry about in every phase of life. We've always got problems. How many of you don't have any problems? If you say, I don't have any problems, you're a liar, and that's a problem.
Yeah, right.
All right? How many of you have to worry about sin every day? Don't sin and say you don't sin. All right? Because we all have sin. We all have to contend against the flesh, the devil, other people. There's problems. Paul said we are troubled on every side. Every side. Every day is a warfare. Every day is a struggle. Don't you look forward to a time when we don't have this struggle anymore?
Amen.
Have you ever been satisfied with your worship? I've never been satisfied with any of my sermons. Some of y'all say, amen. I've never been satisfied with your preaching too. And I agree with you. We're all in agreement. We're all in agreement. I've never preached it the way it ought to be preached. I never will. And you know the great irony of it is, when I'm finally able to preach Christ the way he ought to be preached, it'll be too late. Because we'll all be in glory and we'll know as we're known.
Right.
We'll know as we're known. Aren't you looking forward to that?
Amen.
I mean, amen, I am too. No preaching up there. You don't have to sit and listen to me preach anymore. You'll know Jesus Christ. Have you ever just been, I just want to know more about him. One of these days, you're going to see him as he is. One of these days, you look through a glass darkly now, you'll see him face to face. We sang about heaven today. Can you imagine not looking forward to heaven, not having heaven? We don't deserve it, but aren't you glad we got it?
Amen.
All right? He said, yea, verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not up. For if the dead rise not up, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. We have nothing, friends. We're depraved, wretched, bankrupt, hell-deserving sinners. If salvation is not by grace, there is no salvation. And if Jesus is not raised, there is no grace.
Amen.
Then you're saying grace wasn't enough. The election didn't work. Predestination is a pipe dream. No such thing as justification. If there's no justification, there's no glorification.
Right.
Christ is a liar. God is a liar. We're liars. The devil is right after all. That's what it says. If you're saying there's no resurrection, then you're telling the devil you were right. You were right. You were right. Eve must have got it right. Adam got it right. They became as gods, and we blew it. We messed up. We believed this truth, and it's a lie. Friends, it's not a lie. It's the glorious truth of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is the victor. He has the preeminence. The devil is an ultimate loser. He's a liar from the beginning. Don't believe it, my friends.
Right.
You can trust this book, and you can trust the Holy Spirit, and you can trust that Jesus rose from the dead.
Amen.
And if you believe that, then you've got a lot to look forward to.
Right.
You know the best day of your life hadn't happened yet?
Right.
That's right. You know the best meeting you've ever been to, you haven't been to yet? You know, the best meeting I've ever been is the one I'm in right now.
Amen.
Amen. This is the best meeting I've ever been to. Why? Because it's the one I'm in right now.
Amen.
All right, all those other meetings have gone.
Right.
All the other meetings hadn't happened yet. We're in it right now. Friends, we're in the kingdom of God. Can you believe it?
Amen.
I mean, isn't that incredible? Where are you at right now? Where are we? We're in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
We're in the kingdom of God. My phone said I'm in some weird city in Alabama. Never heard of it. She said, welcome to, and I couldn't even pronounce it. Started with an E, I think. I don't know. Where am I? Oh, I know where I am. I'm in the kingdom of God. Amen. My phone didn't say that. My phone lied to me. You can't trust your phone. My phone didn't say, welcome to the kingdom of God. And why, you know, you get on Facebook, it says, welcome to so-and-so. It never said that. Welcome to the kingdom of God. You can't trust it. But my friends, that's where you are right now. That's where you are right now. And if this is good, you wait till the meeting up yonder.
Amen.
And because there's folks right now having a better meeting than we're having right now. That's right. I'm jealous of them.
Yes.
I am. I'm jealous. These folks that passed away, they're gone on to their reward, their great inheritance with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And they're better off than we are. Funerals aren't for the dead.
Right.
They're for us. They're gone. They're with the Lord. We're the one that needs the comfort. You know what comforts me? The resurrection. That's what comforts me. And that leads to verse 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Can you imagine the sorrow that must bring? They fell asleep in Christ, but Christ wasn't good enough. He wasn't that good a Savior after all, was he? You've believed a lie all your life. No, you haven't. Your soul knows better than that.
Yes.
You may not have ever heard of the resurrection, but your soul is smarter than your brain.
Amen.
And your soul rejoices. There's people who believe what their brains tell them and not listening to their souls and their hearts.
That's true.
I know them. There are people that are denying the faith with their flesh, but I know they know better inside.
That's right.
And that's why I called heaven the great I told you so.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. There's some folks, I'm going to say I told you so up there in heaven. Say, Brother David, you shouldn't think that. Well, why not? It sounds good to me. I know who they are. I'm related to some of them. They'll know. And then it says this. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If this is it, then I'm miserable. All right. You don't have a clock here. I'm lost. I'm going to have to follow the Holy Spirit. I was raised, my father wasn't raised Primitive Baptist. In Texas, we call him a walking miracle because he's a New York Yankee. I don't mean a baseball player. I mean he was a literal New York Yankee. Yeah, I know. I shouldn't say that too loud. I'm half Yankee. You'll still want me back? You're going to bite me back? Okay, all right. My dad was born and lived most of his life in Manhattan. They went to a very high and exalted place of worship. He was an altar boy. He was sent to prep school to prepare him for a life in business. He literally threw his books out the window and joined the Air Force, and they sent him to, of all places, Texas. Texas. He goes into a men's store to buy a suit, and a little East Texas farmer's daughter waited on him, and he fell in love. That woman was a Primitive Baptist preacher's daughter from Corsicana, Texas. They fell in love. She said, if you want to date me, you've got to come with me to church.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Amen. He went to the Primitive Baptist Church and thought they were a bunch of crazy, mixed up, you name it. And for 2 years, my father rebelled, but my mother kept going. My father was sitting in the back row of a meeting where they were having communion and feet washing. And he saw a 90-year-old man bow down to wash the feet of an 8-year-old boy. And he said, there's got to be something to this.
Amen.
He had never seen anything like it. And then he saw the love that the people had for each other. And that encouraged him to listen. And the more he listened, the more he rejoiced.
Amen.
Now my father is a minister in the Primitive Baptist Church. And he preaches the doctrine with a New York accent. And the gospel is so good, my beloved, it sounds excellent in a New York accent. It sounds good in a Texas accent. It sounds good in a Floridian accent. It sounds good in an Alabamian accent. It sounds good in Oklahoma, where my wife is from. My friends, we've got a lot to look forward to. But the point I want to make is we've got a lot to be thankful for right now. And that's what we're doing today.
Amen.
May the Lord richly bless you all is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.